hear the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is a WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome in. We're focusing on Rutherford County this morning, so if you have a question dealing with Rutherford County, we have our county mayor with us, Joe Carr. Joe, good morning to you.
Morning, Bart.
Is it warm enough for you?
It's humid enough for me, for sure.
I thought I was going to melt when I went outside yesterday.
I can't tell how warm it is. It's so humid. So
that's right.
I think their heat index is calling for up to 110 or something
I think so, yes.
Y'all, everybody needs to be careful.
Since you are the bee man.
I am the bee man, and I was in the bee yard just over the weekend.
What do they do when it gets humid and hot like this?
So we just got through harvesting our crop. We pulled 330 pounds, which is a record low for us.
Really?
Yes. I think I've said in previous occasions, April, the nectar flow is about 45 to 60 days long, depending on the weather. And it typically begins around the middle of April and goes through the first to the middle of June. This year, we got off to a really, really good start. As a matter of fact, I was afraid I wasn't going to have enough super honey boxes because we were on task for just a record harvest. And then when May hit, I mean, it stayed wet and cooled off, and they just didn't get out and fly and collect the nectar. So we ended up pulling 330 pounds. But the reason I'm saying all that is that so after you pull the honey, you got to go back in there and feed them. And so I was in the hives in the heat.
So you feed the bees?
After you pull the honey, you have to go back in and feed them. That's correct. Because this period of time from July through middle part of September, what's called the dearth period, there is literally very little for them to pull in the way of nectar or pollen. There just isn't a lot out there in Middle Tennessee. And so if you're not careful, you pulling those honey stores, you're not going to leave them anything to feed on. And so if you're not careful. So we have to go in and feed them heavy syrup, sugar water syrup. It's called 1:1. And so you have to do that so they can get to the fall flow, which is a smaller flow than spring flow. But at least you get them to the fall flow, then they can store up for the winter. But what they do in the summertime to stay cool is they sit outside the hive and they fan, or just they what they call beard. It looks like a big beard on the front of the hive box where they congregate to cool the inside of the fan by fanning their wings. So it's a marvelous work of nature that only a grand creator, our God, could possibly imagine, much less create. So it's an amazing, amazing thing to watch him do all this.
Sounds awesome, I tell you.
It is.
Speaking of awesome, yesterday was awesome. We ran into you at the courthouse.
Yeah, we had a Pray for Tennessee, which is, I don't know why anybody would object to prayer, but there are people who do, and, you know, that's their right and their prerogative, but I'm one of those people that believe strongly in the power of prayer. And so we had an occasion based on a resolution signed by Governor Lee, sponsored by Representative Mike Sparks, who did a really excellent job of putting this together. Former State Representative John DeBerry, a minister in the Church of Christ, came and spoke briefly and prayed. And then there were certain other officials who prayed. And I was asked to speak a couple of scriptures and pray. And so I was very honored to do that. Anytime I have an opportunity to participate in drawing attention to the good things in our community and uplifting those people, especially who need help and assistance, I want to do that. And I think prayer is a part of that.
Very definitely. Now, after that was completed yesterday, it was a good opportunity for a good turnout to come inside and cool off and take a look at our museum.
Yeah, and so we're always excited when people have the opportunity to come and look at the museum, because it And what we have inside the courthouse is just a fraction of what we have stored over in the archives building with that John Lodal addresses. And one of the things that I want to do, along with Dr. Lodal, who's our archive specialist, and Greg Tucker, who's our county historian, Marty Luffman, who's part of that committee, Dr. Van West, just so many people in the community who want to make sure that we, A, preserve our rich history through those artifacts that are available to us as we collect more artifacts, but B, how do we then, as this list of artifacts grows, that tells the story of Rutherford County and its people, and it's a tremendously rich history. And by the way, WGNS has been incredibly important in sharing that history throughout the years, and we certainly appreciate that, Bart. So thank you to WGNS. But the ultimate goal, and hopefully with the County Commission's cooperation and help, the ultimate goal is to take the Goldstein Building, which currently has our elections office, planning and engineering, and the codes department. We want to move those particular county offices out to another location that we're looking into, and then turn the Goldstein Building into that museum, culture, and history place for people. Then it gives us a much more expanded area, and I think it adds to the square, what we're trying to do with the square. And so I'm excited about making sure that we preserve our history we tell our history by preserving those artifacts.
That building is a lot bigger than most people think it is. There's different levels, which enables you to sort of spread everything around.
Are you talking about the
Goldstein building?
Yeah, there's 20,000 feet in there on two levels, and it's got a basement, which wouldn't be accessed. But what we want to do is we want to renovate it. And my idea, and this is not a decision, this is a decision that myself and the county commission will make together. But my idea would be return the Goldstein building back to the old Goldstein facade back 100 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and return it back to that look, and then make the inside a cultural events and history center for Rutherford County. And because I know that there's been discussions about what to do with Cannonsburg and all those artifacts. So I've talked to Mayor McFarland about potentially moving some of that stuff up here. Now, all these conversations are preliminary. So no, there has been no decision, except for we know we've got to get our people out of the Goldstein building because it's not suited for an office complex. And it's in a state of deterioration, and so we need to do something pretty quickly.
So where would you put them?
Well, the thought process is we would take those offices and move everybody to the Linebaugh Library building, and then take the Linebaugh Library and move it out more into the city where it can meet a greater number of people. As a matter of fact, split the Linebaugh Library system up into two campuses, have a north or south campus or east-west campus, and put it more out in the city instead of downtown, where out in the city, away from the square, that it wouldn't...
Bigger branches,
so it would be more accessible by more people.
So you would take the downtown Linebaugh Library and turn that building into office space for the Election Commission, and then you would divide the library into two larger branches that would spread out into the neighborhoods.
That's correct. That's exactly right. And then that would then leave us the Goldstein Building to renovate for that Cultural History and Arts Museum Center for Rutherford County and Murfreesboro.
Now, as you look into your crystal ball there, which I'm glad to see you brought with you this morning, as you look into that, are there spaces at some of these facilities that you've been building that have drivers, training locations, and fire departments in different locations? Is there enough space at some of those facilities to build a library branch?
That's an excellent point. We always want to take, for something like this, we always want to take an existing commercial building if we can. And the reason is we want to take that inventory off the market because there is a blight aspect to a vacant commercial lot. And so anytime we can reuse or renovate an existing structure, it does two things. It ensures that that piece of property isn't blighted, right, for that neighborhood. And we're very sensitive to what happens when a drugstore just a Rite Aid or a Walgreens just said, you know what, we're leaving this location for whatever reason, and it sits vacant for a while.
Years.
Yeah, and it goes unkept, and then it becomes a blight on that neighborhood. And I think as city, county leaders, we're kind of sensitive to that. So anytime we can repurpose an existing structure or lot for something for government use, we would rather do that. And the second piece of that, it's much less expensive. So it's not as much of a burden on the taxpayer when we can repurpose a building as opposed to starting brand new.
So how many square feet are you looking for per building?
Probably about 10 to 15,000 square feet per building, because we're talking about cutting up the 30,000 feet that's currently at the Lime Ball Library. So in about 10 to 15,000 square feet. Now, the library board understands this. Their mission, while it hasn't changed, how they fulfill that mission has changed. I mean, the internet has changed the role of the library tremendously. And so people are listening to books and not reading books. And so we want to adapt to what the consumer is asking for in the way of a public library. So this is going to give us an opportunity to step back and look at, okay, what does the consumer want in the form of a public library? Let's not stick with a model or a paradigm that's 50 years old, that's no longer applicable. How can we use our public library to better attract people to traffic there, and what can we do to do that?
Now, if as you look at this, obviously the first thing you need to do is find these locations for the Lime Ball Library, mm-hmm. because you can't move the Election Commission into the old building until you move the old one out.
It would be tough, yes.
So what parts of town are you looking for?
So we're looking for primarily north-south, but I think the city, the board, and the county are approachable to anything. We just want it. We want it to be away from the square because we have a parking issue at the square, and we want it to be where we have population centers, so people can have greatest number of people who can have the greatest access.
So as we look at major population areas.
Well, like example, the Blackman community.
That's what I was wondering.
Excellent location. Yeah. Another location would be out South Church. That would be an excellent location. These are high growth areas. Another location potentially would be up around the Siegel School area, that location. So those kinds of locations. We don't need one on the east side of town because we have the library learning center out there by Hobgood already. So we really don't need one on the east side of town so much as we need something on the northwest and south side. So those are the prime locations.
Okay, so the Blackman area,
yeah.
Which is the fastest growing area of town right now. South Church Street area.
Across the interstate.
Across the interstate, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and then Siegel School area.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have some property that would fit the need,
give us a call.
Sounds
especially
good.
If there's an existing building on it that's 10 to 15,000 square feet. Absolutely. Give us a call.
Now, as you look at doing this, when do you think we'd be seeing some things happening?
Things begin to happen when we find an alternative location for Lime Ball Library, but it's got to be a right fit. We want buy-in from the board, and we've got a buy-in from the board. They understand and appreciate the vision that we're trying to put together that makes them more accessible to a greater number of people in the community. We're not just going to do it to do it. We want it to be a good fit. So once that happens, once we find a new location for the Lime Ball Library system, the public system, then we can start to move that. And once they're vacated, then we can go in and renovate Lime Ball Library for the office needs. And then after we do that, we move those people in from Goldstein. And then after that, we can renovate Goldstein. So it's a significant three-step process that you don't get to do step two until you're completed with step one and all the way down the line.
Here's a comment from a listener. They say they love that idea, and they love the idea of transforming the Goldstein's building into a history museum and also a cultural center for the history of this community.
Yeah.
They've seen some old photos of the building. In the back part of the building, there was a fire hall, an early fire hall that was just beautiful in its splendor.
I had no idea. See, this is exactly what I'm doing. You think you know something, and you come to find out you know very little. I never heard that before about a fire hall on Vine Street.
And they just commented. They said that Shacklett's Photography has a picture of that building. So,
well, I will tell you what the challenge is going to be when we get, and it's not if, it's when we, and I hope I am mayor to see the fulfillment. This is something I've been wanting.
So this is something that we could see soon, not 20 years down the road.
No, this is not a 20-year plan. This is not a 20-year plan. This is much sooner than that. But this is the problem that we have, is that we have so much history that is undiscovered. That once we, like this text or this email you read, mm-hmm. once we start to pull back, it's going to be very easy, I can see us, to be paralyzed by all the options, all the good options about to do. So we don't want to, we got to be careful. I mean, I want all the options, but we got to make a good decision, and let's not let the perfect stand in the way of the good.
You know, if you look at the interior of that Goldstein's building toward the back part of it, I'm wondering if there might be anything left of the old fire hall still.
I would love to discover more about this. And just things like that. That just opens up all kinds of possibilities. But because I want it to reflect our past. I want the Goldstein building to tell a story and everything in it. Also want it to reflect who we are now and what we want to be. And so there is this tying together of past, present, and future that I think is really important for this facility.
Very definitely. That is so exciting to hear that happening. And it sounds like it's something that we might see moving forward in the next few months.
This is an idea I had when I came into office. And it was kind of like my idea. And I didn't know this idea was shared by others. We just hadn't spoken about it. And so when I was speaking to Dr. Van West and Dr. Lodl and Greg Tucker and others, you know, they go, well, we've been wanting to do that. I said, really? I haven't heard. I said, this is great. I said, nobody has to have credit for the idea. How do we do this? And then we started walking through these first steps. And so the very first thing I did is I called Mayor McFarland and Craig Tindall. I said, guys, how do we, you know, with the new development coming down here on Broad Street and Church, that I said, this is the perfect time for us to relocate the Lineball Library so it better meets the needs of the community out in the community. I said, and then we could take that Lineball Library building and Rutherford County could use it as an office complex, and then it would open up the Goldstein building for that history and culture.
Boy.
So now, we've been working on it for 2 years. We just need to work harder, and we need to get more done. I'm not a very patient man, Bart.
Let me ask you this, because this opens up another possibility.
Sure.
What's going to happen with the old museum, which is not that old, in the courthouse? You suddenly will have a lot of space.
No, we won't. We have a tremendous amount of artifacts in that are,
so you're going to keep that?
Well, I don't know. That is a decision we need to make. I do believe that there's a part of the courthouse that needs to be a museum. To what extent it is, I don't know. But it ties in really well with the Goldstein building because it's literally just a walk across the street. So it's not like we can't have these two buildings telling two stories that are very much intertwined, if that makes sense. That kind of vision is above my pay grade, but if the Historic Society thought it was in the interest of Rutherford County to keep the museum or portion of the museum in the courthouse, I'm certainly fine with that.
You know, you're going to have to tie the Mullins family into that, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you see where this is going.
Yes.
and I will tell you, we have some founding families in Murfreesboro and Rutherford County who are genuinely excited about this. Because this goes back to the very beginnings of our founding, inception. And which brings us, if I can, it brings us back to the sycamore tree. We've talked about
this. Yes, I was going to ask you about that.
We've talked about the sycamore tree.
How did that fare during the storm?
It didn't. It fared during the storm, but the tree is dying. And I'm just, for your listeners, I've had to make a very, very difficult decision that we're going to have to cut the tree down in this fall. we have too many events. It's become we do not want anybody hurt, much less seriously injured or killed because of a falling branch. And so we had tree trimmers out there today surveying. We're going to have to cut it back again. And at some point this fall, after the hard frost, we know we're going to have to take it down. However, I've talked to John Lodell and Dr. West and Greg Tucker, and what we're going to do is we're going to cut it down, and we're going to save the logs. Hopefully they're solid, but we're going to save enough of the tree to make tables and benches, and so that when we move into our new facility in Goldstein, we have a story that we're going to tell about that old sycamore. In the meantime, we are grafting new trees from that tree, and we're storing them in a greenhouse as seedlings. And so we're going to grow a new sycamore tree. As a matter of fact, we're going to grow four sycamore trees that were originally transplanted from the west bank of the Stones River to the courthouse. And we're going to grow those in a greenhouse. And then in about 15 years, we're going to transplant them. Hopefully I won't be the mayor. But the next
mayor. You'll be working on your bees.
Well, yes. But the next mayor will see the value of planting that genetic legacy back where it was once before.
Oh, so, that's great.
So I love planning for the future like this. I mean, this is looking out, but you gotta be a people of vision, Bart, because the word says a people without vision will perish. And I think that's the exciting thing about this job is casting this vision.
So
while we're taking the tree down, there's going to be new growth as a result of that tree.
While we are here today, this has opened up all sorts of new ideas for listeners to have. We're going to pause for just a moment, and we'll be back, and we'll take some of those questions that you have. If you have a text question that you have, 615-893-1450, just text it to us. Easiest way to do it, 615-893-1450. If you want to do it the old-fashioned way, since we're talking about history, you can even talk to us. What a novel idea.
They call in.
Yes, and you speak into the transmitter of the phone.
Everything,
yes.
Yeah, good.
Turn your fingers into a microphone and talk back. WGNSradio.com is Rutherford County's online source for what matters to you. WGNSradio.com.
At Budge Tire Pros, we sell all major brands of tires, and we invite you to stop by today for that next set of tires. Or maybe you need us to check out your vehicle before you head out of town. We offer everything from brakes to batteries, alignments, and more. No appointments necessary, just stop on by.
I'm Allison Mitchell with Bud's Tire Pros. We're located on East Main Street, exactly 3 miles from the town square, 1 mile past Rutherford Boulevard. Visit us online at budstireprostn.com.
Hi, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurants. One of the places I love to eat out the most and still be able to do so and maintain a healthy weight is at Demas's. You can get those options on the menu online at www.demasrestaurants.com. You can make the decisions that you want to make before you come in. We have options ranging from grilled chicken to fish. You can get it with a side of green beans or spinach or even zucchini. Please have your family join our family for lunch or dinner at Demas's.
Hey, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. Come in for your guitars, keyboards, drums. We have you covered. Our prices will normally meet internet prices. We also have PA and DJ equipment. Some lights, yes, we have that covered too. You can come rent a PA and sound system, do your karaoke, and bring it back. Come see us at Music World and Drummer's Den, the one-stop shop where you have everything that you might need. 2762 South Church Street, right across from the golf course.
This is Chip Walters, and you're listening to Rutherford County's Blue Raider Station.
Yeah, we got them. MTSU Sports on WGNS, AM, FM, online.
A heat advisory will go into effect this afternoon. A few spotty showers and thunderstorms at times this afternoon. Blend of clouds and sunshine develops, a high in the upper 90s. Tonight, mostly clear, low of 76. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Vujicicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 73.
Hi, this is Gator with Tire World Off-Road. We are your local Rough Country dealer. So when you're ready to add some character to your rig, ask for Gator at Tire World Off-Road on Memorial Boulevard.
This is Sean Brown at Tire World on Broad Street. Online at tireworld.us.
The Rick and Bubba Show, weekdays from noon till 2.
WGNS, your good neighbor station.
Rutherford County's place to talk.
Welcome back. Our phone number is 615-893-1450. Marshall Boffman is the winner this morning of that delicious banana pudding from Slick Pig Barbecue. Happy birthday, Marshall. And our good neighbor of the day today is Katie Santiago. Katie Santiago wins flowers from Ryan's Flowers, Coffee and Gifts. Jenny Harrison and the family over there, they do such a great job in the community. Again, if you want to join us in conversation, text us your questions, 615-893-1450. Rutherford County Mayor Joe Carr is with us this morning, and he's here with some big news. I'll tell you, that was exciting hearing that.
Well, it doesn't hardly, I mean, I'm Marshall Boffman winning the Slick Pig banana pudding. You think he would
sell that? Probably goes over your.
Yeah, no question. Do you think he would sell that back? Maybe auction that back online?
Probably would.
For the History Museum, right?
And
Marshall, if you're listening, there's an idea.
And there's another person I heard, Cliff Sharp, this morning talking about they were going to auction off a donkey.
I heard
a mule. It's a mule. Now, wouldn't that be something?
That would be.
We've had whittlers on the square. We haven't had too many mules. Well, maybe Uncle Dave came there once in a while.
We've had some asses, but no mules.
I'm not going to touch that one.
FEC just didn't ding me. SEC just didn't ding me, did they?
Our number 615-893-1450.
Sorry about that, Bart.
There goes the license.
There goes the license.
If you have a question or a comment, give us a call. Let's talk a little bit more about this. So if you're looking for some buildings to take the Line Ball Library from, maybe two, three buildings, maybe one in the Blackman community, one South Church across the interstate.
It doesn't have to be across the interstate, but we want to be where they're close to residential population centers. So, yeah.
That's a growing area. Yeah. A Siegel School area, certainly a growing area. But you mentioned drug stores, because I don't know why we have so many empty drugstore buildings.
They have consolidated, and like every other business, a lot of drugs are now being bought online. And so they don't have a need for walk-in stores as much as they used to. That's just not the preferred way people are transacting business. I mean, you've got Amazon shipping stuff out all the time, and you've got the pharmaceutical industry in the business of selling direct. And so the need for a Walgreens or a Rite Aid isn't as great as it used to be. And so they're trying to reorganize their business, and that reorganization doesn't include as many storefronts. And so now we have these vacant facilities. And so instead of leaving them, and they're typically, these buildings are about 10,000-12,000 square feet, and they're perfect because it's just a shell. And so we could go in there and then we could build it out internally because they're very well made. They're block buildings typically. And so they're very well made, and generally, they're in locations where there are they're close to residential communities. So I use that as an example, not exclusively that, but we would rather repurpose a building than buy the land and then build a new building.
Are you hoping to buy it yourself, or if somebody has it in a shopping area, they want to lease it to you?
We would prefer to own. The county doesn't like to lease. We like to own. That puts us kind of in charge of our direction, but we wouldn't preclude a lease. We would just prefer to own.
Okay. And if you have a comment on that, 615-893-1450. And the exciting thing, too, is the old Goldstein's building, which is where the election commission is, that would become a museum.
Well, then there was talk before I became mayor of tearing the building down. And that is not in the equation. It's just we've had, since I've been mayor, we've had several developers approach the county, myself, about buying that particular building, that property. They want to put a hotel there or something like that. That's just not, that doesn't fit for what I believe the community wants for the public square.
Out of curiosity, and you probably have a feel for this, there are parcels of property downtown, and I think the county owns some of that property, that is empty land. And why isn't that being purchased? I know that you auctioned off the old bank building and some things.
Well, I did not. The previous administration did. The county, the previous mayor and I disagree. I would not have sold the old MBT building. The county, because of the growth of our county, again, fastest growing county in the state, 42nd fastest growing in the country, when the county grows in population, the services demanded by that population growth increase. And so we have an obligation, literally a legal obligation, to serve those new residents. That requires, you know, sometimes additional staffing to do that. And so we need places to put this new staff. And so we are not in the business of selling property at all. We are holding on to the property we have and using it to service the community in the best manner we think fit, given its location and previous purpose.
So the old jail building.
Yeah, that was also sold. I wouldn't have sold that.
That was sold?
Yes, sir. You're talking about down there on West Mam Broad. Yes, sir.
Right.
That the county.
I didn't realize they sold
that. That was sold in the previous administration as well.
Okay, so you don't have any property downtown.
If we have the public square, we have the courthouse.
Well, you better do something with that quick.
We have the Goldstein building, right?
Yeah.
So we have those properties, but I would love to have those two parcels back. I would absolutely love it, but we don't. Because I would have take the MBT building and make something out of it as well.
It's interesting you brought up about the courthouse. I was talking with Greg Tucker yesterday because I was going to be speaking to a group of folks afterwards. And I said, Greg, I just want to touch base with you on this story I've heard so I get the facts correct. And I said, I heard that there were, in the late 40s, early 50s, women who wanted to sell our courthouse. And they had, it was going along pretty fast to sell it. Several petitions had been signed. And I said, is there any truth in that?
Oh, my.
And he said, there was truth in it. He said that was in the late 40s. And I had thought that it was because people were wanting to make the downtown square a shopping center. Mm-hmm. Everybody, shopping centers were just becoming popular, and since we didn't have a shopping center, they were making faux shopping centers out of the square. They'd put aluminum facades on the front of the buildings to make it look like a new building. And so I thought, well, that's why it was happening. And he said, no, what it was the federal government had said, we'll pay 28%, or no, we'll pay 80%, it was. Yeah, that's what it was. We'll pay 80% of the cost of constructing a new courthouse. Let us know if you want to do it. Lebanon did it. They built a new courthouse, 80% paid for by the federal government. We were in that direction, but a lady came across, and Ms. Sarah... just had a senior moment. I can't remember her last name. Sarah D-A-R.
King?
That's it. Sarah King. She came to the rescue, and she was trying to slow this train down. But
wow.
About that same time, Pearl Harbor happened. And that put the brakes on instantly for the federal government wanting to spend 80%.
So I have been to all 95 counties in the state of Tennessee. I've been to most, if not, I've been to most of the states. And I'm going to tell you something. When I was talking to somebody yesterday, when you drive down East Main Street, you think of America. I'm just telling you. And you see the courthouse and you see all the maple trees, especially in the fall. I'm telling you, it would have been a crime to tear that courthouse down. And I understand all the noble intent of getting 80% federal money, but we have to be careful about chasing the money, Bart, because what we end up with is exactly what Wilson County has. I've been to Wilson County's courthouse. It is a rectangular beige brick building, and there are great people up there. It's a great community. I know Mayor Hutto, but it's the building itself is of no particular significance. It just isn't. However, when you come down East Main Street and you see those tall white columns in that red brick and the large trees, and you just see it and you go, oh my gosh, this is what it's supposed to be. And there's no chance that that would change now. I think people understand that significance. I think people understand that it's important that the county financially invest in preserving that structure, and we will spare no expense. And I will say this, that building takes a beating every time we have a Friday Night Lights or a Saturday morning marketplace. It puts a tremendous amount of stress on the mechanical systems of the courthouse. Tremendous, because you have hundreds of thousands of people using those restrooms, going in and out of there, and they're not built for that at all. Those are old mechanical systems, very old, and they're fragile, and we have to be careful. We had just recently somebody went up on the second floor from an event, and they flushed something down the ladies' toilet they shouldn't have, and it flooded, and it dripped into the downstairs. So we're constantly have to fighting those kind of issues. And I would suggest, indeed I would, to your listeners, when you come to the courthouse, remember this is a grand old lady who is serving us well. Let's be careful how we treat her.
Here's a text from a listener who says, why can't we renovate those restrooms and bring them up to today's efficiencies?
Because of the foundation and the structure of the building itself. It's not, you can't do it.
You can't just put in new pipes.
No, you can't put in new pipes. Absolutely not. You would have to tear. You would have to really raise the whole inside of the courthouse. And if you could do it, the cost would be prohibitive. You know, the fact of the matter is that the court, because of the courthouse and the square, is such an identifiable part of this community. People want to come and be there. And Sarah Callender does a great job putting on events, and she cares deeply about the courthouse. And we constantly talk about, you know, making sure, how can we make sure that when we have an event, we don't leave a footprint about that event being there. And so we're constantly having conversations. So she and Main Street are great partners in that regard. But my message is to the citizens, when you come to the courthouse and you use those facilities, just be a little gentler, be a little kinder.
Here's another question. This person says, I'm continuing to be concerned with the fact that we do not have a facility here in which to do autopsies and things of that sort. It's obviously that Nashville and Williamson County all cater toward their communities. And if there was going to be somebody left out, it would be Rutherford County. We need to have our own. How is it coming on the facility where you set aside land in Smyrna?
So the forensic center, they're talking about a regional forensic center. As your listeners know, and I shared, we were turned down by Governor Lee. Again, it seems like Rutherford County gets turned down by this administration and the General Assembly a lot. I'm not sure why, but we do. We were turned down for funding for a forensic center, for federal funding, when other facilities not only got the money they requested, they even got more money than they requested, and we got nothing. However, having said that...
Was that the one in Williamson County?
That was the one in Hamilton County. There are five forensic centers in Tennessee, and there have only been five for the last 20 years through this tremendous growth. Memphis, Chattanooga, Knoxville, Johnson City, and Nashville. Nashville serves 63 counties. By far and away, the majority of the autopsies in Tennessee are done at Forensic Medical in Nashville, which is a for-profit institution. The other four are nonprofit or government-owned or university-owned. What we're going to do is my proposal is to build a forensic center. It's about 15 to 17,000 square foot forensic center in Smyrna on Weekly Lane. It'll be funded and owned by Rutherford County. It will not require a tax increase. We will not have to borrow money to do this. But what's important is that the state health department just released a study back in March, which interestingly enough, they didn't want released after they did the study, but we got it. And it said, quote, there is an urgent need for a sixth forensic center in Tennessee and more probably two more forensic centers. But there is an urgent need. Urgent. Now, when a health department says something's urgent, you might want to pay attention. Then they go on to say this, the urgent need for this sixth forensic center would be ideally located in Rutherford County. So the health department issues a study done by a third-party group. The study comes back and says, this is urgent, and Rutherford County is ideally located, and we can't get the state to give us the funding or to even help us with the funding, So, but this is such a, this is a potential crisis, health crisis for Rutherford County, because if Forensic Medical cancels our contract, because we do about 360 autopsies a year, if they cancel our contract, we literally have no place to go.
They can cancel your contract?
Yes, sir, they can.
Why would they do that? Because how can they do that?
They can do it because they're privately owned and they're not regulated by the state. Them and six. So, let me example. you do the number of autopsies you're able to do is based on the number of forensic pathologists who actually perform the autopsy. By law, you lose your accreditation if you do more than 325 autopsies a year as a forensic pathologist. So we calculate that each pathologist can do 300 autopsies. Memphis lost their forensic pathologist, one of their forensic pathologists. So they had to tell nine counties that were being serviced by Shelby County, we can no longer do your autopsies. You got to take them all the way to Nashville. So West Tennessee brings all their autopsies to Nashville, with the exception of Shelby County.
And yet Nashville is the only for-profit one.
That's correct. That's correct.
So they're increasing the profit.
They're increasing their profit, and we have seen the increase. We've seen an increase in autopsies, the cost of autopsies, three out of the last 4 years, and we just saw a 50% increase in transportation costs to take these bodies to Nashville and bring them back.
Are you seeing that as business motivated?
Yes. And so Rutherford County can also, so we, our budget for autopsies is about $1.2 million a year. By building a forensic center, Bart, we can actually reduce the cost of providing required autopsies by $500,000 a year to the county. So we can actually reduce the cost if we do them ourselves. Moreover, and more importantly, we now make ourselves available to surrounding counties for a better solution at a more cost-effective price point. So now surrounding counties, by them bringing their autopsies to Rutherford County, we can offset the cost of our autopsies when other counties bring them to us. So we actually have a business model that's going to reduce the cost of Rutherford County autopsies with this forensic center.
Well, if somebody else is holding the purse strings, it looks like we need to find some funding other places.
Well, I have, but we only have a certain amount of time. And
you're getting a message.
I'm getting a very important message. Excuse me, I'm sorry. I've got a situation brewing this morning, so I'm having to keep up with it. My apologies.
Okay.
So we have tried for a year and a half now to get assistance out of the state and out of the federal government ARPA funding that was made available as a result of COVID, and we've been denied. And so where you can't sit around and wait on the state any longer. We're going to go in another direction, hopefully.
We will be right back and continue the conversation. Stay with us.
Bob Ferris lives at Adams Place.
The personnel here are excellent, and they are concerned about your well-being. Yes, they're always asking you how are you doing and what can I do to help you, and that's a blessing.
Hi, this is Terry Deal at Adams Place. Call me for more information about Adams Place. Phone 615-904-9111. Adams Place, 1927 Memorial Boulevard, across from Walmart.
We're excited to announce that Capstar Bank is now officially a division of Old National Bank. The friends you've made while banking right here over the years are still here, and so are those delicious, warm, homemade cookies. Everything you enjoyed about Capstar is still at Old National Bank.
In Murfreesboro at 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Come on over and enjoy warm cookies with friends while doing your banking at Old National Bank.
Old National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
We're in the final segment, just a few minutes left, and we have a question. The listener says, please tell us what's happening with the Middle Point landfill. We haven't touched on that.
No, that's great. So I'm glad Bishop this morning at 7:55 a.m., Bishop Wagner, our solid waste director, sent me pictures. We are pouring concrete. We're pouring the foundation for the actual transfer station. The steel has been ordered. We will be erecting steel probably in September. Maybe October. Our anticipated opening date is going to be on or about April 1, just depending on the weather. We're under construction. We're getting ready to sign a contract with Waste Management for the loading, transportation, and disposal of that trash. So we are headed in the right direction to making sure Rutherford County is solid waste independent.
And what about Middle Point Landfill? What is it going to be?
Well, it's filling up fast. And the quicker it fills up, the sooner it closes, and we all get to move, we all get to turn the page.
And so with this transfer facility, do we know where we're going to take our garbage
to? Yes, sir, we do. It's going to the Waste Management Facility in Cedar Ridge in Marshall County.
Okay. Is that going to be an extremely expensive trip?
No, it's not. It's not going to be an expensive trip, but you got to understand that Rutherford County produces 460,000 tons of trash every year. Only about 60,000 tons of that comes through our convenience centers and the schools. So a fraction, literally a fraction of like 1/8 of the total trash is not tipped, and so the rest of that is what they call tipped or has a fee put on it to have it disposed of at the landfill. We expect a large number of independents who pick up trash in Rutherford County who now take their trash to Middle Point will be coming to the transfer station, and they'll be able to do that at a reduced cost, so it'll be in their business best interest, and it'll also their bring it to our transfer station will offset the charge that we have to pay by taking it to Cedar Ridge in Marshall County.
And we have just a few seconds left, but where is the transfer station? I know we've covered
that. It's at the end of Landfill Road behind the Middle Point Landfill on our old landfill site. We have about 200 acres back there at the end of Landfill Road in Walter Hill.
Okay, and that's going to do it for our show today. Our county mayor is our guest today, Joe Carr, just full of information and getting ready to go out and make some money.
I did it without notes today, Bart.
Very good. Excellent
job.
Thank
you. Y'all have a blessed day.
You too. Stay with us. Much more to come right here on your good neighbor station, WGNS Murfreesboro. Definitely your home for, if it's local, we got it covered. And if you don't believe that, tune in tomorrow. Tomorrow is election day. We really have it covered tomorrow.